Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues. We wrap up our visit to Texas on what I'm going to call a repeat performance. Dan Wesley White is our guest today from Del Rio, Texas. I had a microphone issue about a week or so ago when we tried to record this first session. So now everything's sounding good. Dan's sounding great, and he's going to sound even better when you hear some of his music. Bass players, the bag is a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States with the finest craftsmanship and a beautiful, sophisticated, and very cool overall appearance. They're made of some of the finest quality leather and cushion available and are meant to last a lifetime, literally a lifetime. They've got over 30 years in the leather industry, and they're extremely proud to introduce this line of gig bags targeted both to the skilled professional as well as the fun-seeking novice. Their hope is that you'll love the bag as much as they do. Tony Vaughn, bass player, invented the concept of the bag, and it's a whole line of bags you can find at tonyvaughn.com. That's www.tonyvaughn.com, or wherever you buy gear. Go to Sweetwater, go to Guitar Center, go to Musician's Friend, and just type in the bag and you'll find the bass bag and the whole line of bass bag gear that Tony Vaughn's got for you. Dan Wesley White, our last guest in Texas, and welcome back.
Howdy, howdy.
And you got your new studio microphone and new stuff going on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had it last time. I just hadn't had it set up. Yeah. So now I'm going to try everything else. So hopefully it makes everything better on my end as well.
So, Dan, you are retired military.
Not retired. I just got out.
You just got out. Okay. And you were military music.
Right.
Explain to us what that is, please.
Basically, just like any professional musician, you have to go in for an audition. And if you do good on the audition, they say, okay, you're hired. The only thing with mine is once I was hired, I had to go to basic training and go through boot camp. And then I went through a 6-month school of music at Norfolk, Virginia at the Navy Amphibious Base. And then once I did my 6 months there, I immediately got promoted to what we call E4 or specialist. And then I went to my first duty station in San Antonio, Texas. After I was there about 2.5 years, I went to Korea for a year. After Korea, I went back to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio. And then I ended my Army career in Heidelberg, Germany. I was stationed over in Germany.
Tough life.
Tough life. Nothing like getting paid to be a rock star on Uncle Sam's dime.
So what was your instrument? Did you play bass, guitar, what?
I'm a bass guitar. So the bag you just advertised sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Well, I remember we talked about the bass, but I forgot that was your instrument in the band. And your band played everything, right? You played all kinds of music, and you played for the troops, correct?
Correct. We have, when you think Army band, we have to kind of do everything. So there's marching bands for like change of commands and things like where we change leaders, all that stuff. Yeah. We also have rock bands, which I was in. We also have country bands, which I was in. There's also sometimes Latin bands, depending on which part of the United States or other countries it falls in.
Yeah.
And all different kinds. So I mean, that way when you're playing for the troops, you always play something at least somebody likes.
You didn't have to play any Korean or German folk music, did you?
Sometimes when we did German fests.
Did you really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we'd always play Arirang, which is your main Korean song.
Okay.
And so, like, there was always, like, American emissary or royalty people, and then there was always Korean royalty people, so you'd always have to play different songs for each country.
Oh, okay. That would make sense, yeah.
Right.
Now, how did you get started in the bass? Did you play bass in grade school, high school?
I got started by a teacher in 9th grade when I first, because I was playing tuba, so I always play low bass clef stuff anyway. And they needed a bass player in their jazz band, so I went ahead and picked it up, taught myself how to play, and then from there just had fun with it.
Why do you big guys always play the tuba, man? You never see a skinny tuba player.
Oh yeah, you do.
I haven't.
You do, Sam.
I'm limited scope in my limited life, but yeah, it always seems like the tuba players are always the big guys, you know. I guess because it's a big instrument that it's got to look proportionate.
Actually, yeah, now I think that's just a stereotype.
I did see I do remember seeing a smallish tuba player. And what's the step down that's not a tuba that's still a big horn? Would that
baritone or trombone?
Maybe it's baritone. Yeah.
Baritone looks like a baby tuba where they kind of hold it in front
that's
of them.
That's it. Okay.
And the tuba's a little bit bigger.
Okay. And the trombone I know is not a trombone. It was not a trombone.
Right.
Had friends that were trombone players. And did you like the jazz band thing?
Oh yeah, that's where I really started learning my chops and my major, minor scales, my melodic scales, all the different things. And then when I was in high school in my senior year, I took some advanced music courses, so I did more theory.
Uh-huh.
And that's what prepared me for the audition in the military. I wouldn't have been able to do it without it.
Is that when you decided, like your senior year, decided, I'm going to go to the military? If I'm going to play music, why not let Uncle Sam pay my way?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And did you get, like, I guess you get GI benefits as well? You get to go to school?
Right.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. And then, like I said, I get to tour the world on Uncle Sam's dime and still live the life of a rock star and have a daily job at the same time.
Yep, except you had to go to basic training, and you may have had, and you, I guess you never got shot at, did you?
No, I never went to an actual war theater. No.
So that's a plus, I would imagine.
But bands do.
Do they?
They do, yeah. If there's an operation going on, they do go up there to, again, lift the morale and the spirits of the troops that are on the front line.
Oh, that's right. The movie White Christmas, that's what it's all about. They put on a show in front of the troops while they're getting bombed.
Mm-hmm. I forget. Yeah, just like the old 1940s USO tours.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you tour with big names? Did you have some big names that you had to back up or support or anything like that?
Not really. There was a few times where we ran into people, like if we were doing like a festival or something, and they just happened to be in the country or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But it was mostly like jazz artists. Never really ran into any rock or something, except one time when I was in Korea, that's when they opened the Planet Hollywood. And so Bruce Willis came out there in person and walked around at the demilitarized zone and stuff.
He play his harmonica for you?
Nah, I didn't actually get to see him. It was because I was in Yongsan, which is down from the demilitarized zone.
Gotcha. My ex-brother-in-law was in Korea during Vietnam, and he said he would have rather been in Vietnam because it was so dangerous in Korea.
Mm-hmm. They kept going back and forth. I mean, when I was there was a few incursions of people defecting, and you would hear the big sirens going off in town just in case there was a bombing or anything, but nothing too serious.
Well, that's good. And you're with us, so you didn't, suffer any major...
Oh, no.
That's good. Now, you write, too. You started writing. Did you start writing in high school, or did you get the writing bug once you were in the military for a while, or what?
I actually didn't start writing until about 2 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We met before, and I didn't know what this first song was about. Now I am enamored with what this first song is about. The first song is called 22. Explain to the listeners what 22, the symbolism.
So the number 22 is basically the U.S. average of how many veterans commit suicide every day. So, I mean, even 22, we know the number is actually higher, but that's kind of the set average that all the departments and stuff are giving to veteran suicide. So whether they're older veterans, younger veterans, whatever, that's the set number. And I mean, we just got to stop that number. We got to show veterans, hey, there's other things you can turn to, seek help out. We'll help you out, all that kind of stuff. So I wrote this song kind of to bring awareness by the title itself, how many people kill themselves each day from the military or a veteran, and also to offer those veterans help so they don't do something them and their family are going to regret.
Right. Really touching and really impressive. I mean, when I first listened to the song, I was listening from a different frame of reference and kind of half listened to the song. Now I've listened to it again. I'm like, whoa, pretty powerful. Dan Wesley White, our guest here from Del Rio, Texas, on the Music of America podcast, and his first song, 22.
Eighteen and fresh out of school, living his life and trying to be cool. Johnny's world changed with a telegram. Pack your things and don't be slow, for Benning's where you gotta go. We're sending you Vietnam. Saw things that one should see, all in the name of liberty. Several friends would pass away. Return home a different man, wondering why he's alive in God's plan. Thought ending it all was the only way. Don't let him be a 22. Gave his body and soul for the red, white, and blue. When his world crashes down, he needs some help to see life through. Don't let him be a 22. Susie was an ex-prom queen. Mommy and daddy gave her everything. But her eyes were opened on that September day. She watched those silver towers fall. Knew she had to heed the call. Marine Corps blues were the way. Got sent to Afghanistan, where an IED took her legs and hands. Living a life with many surgeries. Times got hard and bills piled high. Disabilities were denied. How can she live with these injuries? Don't let her be a 22. Gave her body and soul for the red, white, and blue. When her world crashes down, she needs some help to see life through. Don't let her be a 22. Men and women who take a stand, protecting our homeland, away from their husbands and wives. Fighting their internal fights, with long and sleepless nights. They need our help to live better lives. Let us be a 22. We gave our bodies and souls for the red, white, and blue. When our world crashes down, we need some help to see life through. Don't let us be a 22. Don't let us be a 22. Our bodies and souls for the red, white, and blue. When our world crashes down, we need some help to see life through. Don't let us be a 22. Don't let us be a 22. We gave our bodies and souls for the red, white, and blue.
22 from Dan Wesley White here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We'll get back to with Dan and talk about another one of his songs, one of my favorites of his. Probably my, I can't say it's my favorite because 22 touches me, but I really like this one too. And I'll tell you about it here in just a minute. You know, you meet, you fall in love, you commit to each other. That's the easy part of relationships. But somehow, after 2 years or so into that relationship, things begin to be challenging. Emotions and flair have waned. You disagree more, you're feeling disillusioned at times, and that period there of disappointment can last a really long time, even years. That's usually when couples seek out, like, the assist of a therapist to help them learn better communication skills. 2 years after Forever is dedicated to help couples find that effective communication. This guidebook, sort of a, I guess a how-to book, it teaches you some skills to learn about the communication deficiencies that likely exist, but better, it offers exercises to improve those skills and be better communicators, better partners. 2 years after Forever, it's not a self-help book. It's a workbook. You have to do the work. And believe me, firsthand, I'm learning. You have to do the work. If you don't do the work, you're just reading words. But it's called 2 years after Forever. If you do the exercises with your partner together, apply the lessons learned, you will absolutely see a difference in your relationship, particularly lasting in a lifetime or into the future, like forever. 2 years after Forever, www.2yearsafterforever, available at Amazon today and forever. Dan Wesley White, our guest here. And Dan, you played in a band. Did you play or have you played in a band since you left the military? Are you doing your own music on your own now, or what's going on with you with music?
Well, I do have a local group I play with every few weeks. We play at one of the restaurants here in Del Rio called Memo's Restaurant. And the owners actually used to deal with Ray Price. They were his band manager.
Oh, no kidding. How cool.
Right. So they have a lot of country influence in this place. In fact, last week they just celebrated their 88th anniversary being open. So
do you have
pretty cool place here.
Do you have to play for the good times every time you go in there?
No, actually, what's the other one we do? Well, there's one of the Ray Price ones we do, but I can't remember the name of it right now that you asked me.
Yeah, of course, right.
Brain Fart Central.
That's right. Well, that's what happens. You know, if you try and think of it, then you can't. You know, when you don't want to, that's when it'll just come out of nowhere. That's I know he's had, I had a greatest hits album of his when I was working at a country radio station in Kansas, and the only song I can remember is For the Good Times.
You know? Nightlife.
Nightlife.
What it was called?
Yep,
yeah.
That was it, yep.
Yeah, starts off slow and then goes into the kind of the bluesy walk.
Yeah,
the one we normally do, and we kind of put our own spin on it.
What's that like, taking a classic like Nightlife? Well, I guess it's considered a classic. It's one of his greater hits. Right. And you make it your own. Do you just start noodling around and say, hey, let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this? Or does somebody else come up with an idea? How's it?
Well, the lead guitar kind of, he does all the vocals on it. He's got a better higher voice than I do. I've got more of a baritone bass. So he does all the singing, and then I just kind of follow his progressions he does on his guitar.
You want to give a shout out to your bandmates?
Sure. His name's George Calderon. The Calderon family, they're the ones that own Memo's.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. There's I worked in this little town of Chanute, Kansas. Okay. About an hour and a half south of Kansas City, you know, just the middle of nowhere, Kansas, kind of in the southeast corner. And there was a little taco place called Taco Pete's. And I got a call from Pete Mendoza. He goes, Dom, you got to go over here, man. I said, why? He goes, Jeff Cook and Mark Hendon from Alabama are here. There was a Pearl drum kit manufacturer like right across the street practically from the radio station. And they were in town because Mark was getting a custom set made for him. So I came in town to pick him up. Well, I'm a new daddy, so I had to stay home and help my ex-wife with my son. But Pete got up and jammed with him. He goes, it was the coolest thing. They get pictures of. They didn't have videos and phones back in those days. You know, this is back in the 80s. But still, that's a cool thing, man, to be able to he got a chance to jam with Ray Price, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, the guitar player didn't. His uncles did.
Okay.
His uncles were the ones that were the road manager and the stage managers.
Yeah. Now, when you write your own music, you don't really tour, do you? You don't hit the road. You don't play all over Texas and go into Mexico to promote your music, or do you?
Well, I haven't went on the road yet, no. I'm still kind of trying to build up a fan base right now just to make sure I don't play for one person. And that one person is me.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. That's a fun gig. We've done that one before. It's not not something I wish on anybody, especially if you're doing like a four-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And after 30 minutes, there's nobody there for the rest of the day. Yeah. That's, have you played out with your other bands other than the military thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We play at the restaurant every few weeks.
I'm sorry. I mean, I meant travel. Have you traveled outside of town? Like earlier in high school and stuff like that?
Not lately. We did travel a few times earlier in the early 2000s, but lately we've just been doing our local thing because everybody has their day jobs, and then we just get together maybe once or twice a week to jam at the restaurant and stuff.
And you play a variety of music then there, I guess.
Right. We do rock, we do oldies, we do country, we do Latin, a lot of Latin jazz, all kinds of stuff.
What do you think is the most requested song when you're playing at Memo's?
A lot of them like Seven Spanish Angels.
No kidding.
I do a little Elvis thing, and they like my little Elvis medley that I do. So, that's you know, funny. It's a lot of different stuff.
I love that. Yeah, I just don't see you. I can't picture you in a white jumpsuit though, with the sequins.
Oh, no.
And your hair slicked back.
I don't do the looks. I just do the voice.
Do the voice. Okay. So, Dan, the next song of yours, I like the title, first of all, because years ago, Bill Maher, who I think is actually coming around politically, I still think he's funny sometimes, but he had a TV show called Politically Incorrect because he was politically incorrect. And he didn't really care. And he made a name for himself, made a fortune out of being politically incorrect and just saying what was on his mind, whether, you know, those that were offended liked it or not. And I thought that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the inspiration, that kind of concept, or was it actually the show or what?
Well, it's basically because in the last 10, 15 years, you've seen everything do a 180. I mean, the stuff we used to think was rock solid is now looked down upon. And the stuff that was looked down upon is now like common culture. I mean, look at some of the stuff going on. You got these people doing squatters' rights, and the squatters have more pull in the legal system than the people that actually own the homes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we won't even get into the border situation, being I live here on the border and I see it on a daily basis.
Right. We'll cover that on the next song. So this is basically, it's like a 21st century protest song.
Correct. This was actually my very first single. This was my first song that I wrote 2 years ago.
Oh, no kidding.
And it was just my way, you know, how I was feeling. And I just put it to words and put it out there.
And you were out of the military by then.
Oh, yeah. I've been out of the military for almost 22, 23 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought maybe you'd been out for a while or just a little while. And boy, that's kind of touchy if you're writing a song like that and you're still in the military.
Gotcha. Yeah, they can get you. But yeah, I've been out since 1999, and then I went back and got my teaching degree, so that's why I teach music now.
Gotcha. Dan Wesley White, our guest here from Del Rio, Texas, and a border town. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, we want to hear his song called Politically Incorrect here on the Music of America podcast.
Can't be late, gotta get it there by 9. Went up ahead in front of me, I can't believe what I see. People standing in a line. They say they're against violence, but what they're doing makes no sense. Keeping me from my drop. Blocking everyone till the demands are met and done. This insanity has got to stop. Hey, hey. Socialism, communism, white power, nationalism, and Tifa the BLM. They like to tell you what to think, how to live, what to speak, but rules don't apply to them. They say they're only doing good, you're burning down neighborhoods, there's just no respect. Trying to make the world go woke, I think it's all a big joke, I'm politically incorrect. Every day, they got their hand on our last dime. Lockdowns, handouts, prices rising all about, while people turning their lives to crime. Liberal DAs letting criminals out today, no jail or punishment. At the end of the day, the innocent seem to pay, thanks to Brandon and our government. The fun police abolish ICE, liberals pushing this advice, there's no law and order. State police told to process and release illegals at the border. Immigration invasion, nothing on the news station. What did you expect? I guess coming to the USA and doing it the legal way is now politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
musicians, actors, athletes, the media, and fake news. Giving their opinion like it's a religion, thinking we don't have a clue. Mean tweets, fact checks, boys and girls, changing sex. To this I must object. We need hardworking, bill paying, God fearing, and people praying. Become politically incorrect.
Politically incorrect. Dan Wesley White from Del Rio, Texas, a border town. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Octave mandolins. Joe Mendel's signature piece of art gives you that sweet tone somewhere between a mandolin and a guitar. It has that mandolin punch while also delivering the sustain and range of a guitar. He builds them to your specifications. You may prefer the Adirondack top to the Sitka. You may like black walnut, mahogany, rosewood, maple, whatever. You select the wood, you select the style, and Joe will make it for you. Your very own octave mandolin, all in part flavor of their own to the tone. I call them Mendel's Mandos. He calls them the octave mandolin. They're available at joemendelsfrets.com. Or check him out on Facebook at Joe Mendel's Frets. Soon to come, joemendelsguitars.com. Dan Wesley White, bass player extraordinaire. Our guest, singer, songwriter, music teacher. Tell us about that.
Well, after I got out of the military, I decided to go back and get my teaching degree on Uncle Sam also. So yep. Since I did that, I used my GI Bill and all that stuff. And so now I'm a band director in Del Rio. That's what I do as my day job.
The marching band, jazz band, every band.
Everything.
No kidding.
Yeah, everything.
I think we talked about this before when we were in high school, and I don't know jazz. I know what I like, and I can go and listen to jazz. I have a hard time listening to it in my car. You know, I have to be in a certain mindset to really understand and listen to it, but I can watch it live for hours. Jazz Fest that we have in Vermont is phenomenal, which you ought to come up to sometime. But I remember when we were in high school and friends of mine were in jazz band, and we went, and we were all graduates now, so we went for the Christmas show. And Mr. Stocklausner, who was our band instructor, turned to the audience and said, "These guys are so good, we're going to play a Christmas song, any key, name whatever key you want, name it in." And one of the guys I'm with says, "F sharp minor." Ooh. And they had to play, I think it was White Christmas or Jingle Bells or something like that, but they had to play it in F sharp minor. And Stocklausner does this. He's like, "Is that you, Mengerson?"
That's kind of like the old Tonight Show with Doc Severinsen. They would always have a skit called Stump the Band, and they would just go through the audience and say,
"That's right.
Come up with a song, and we'll see if you can stump the band." And most of the time, they couldn't. They would always play the song.
Yeah, yeah. So is F sharp minor a very difficult key?
Depends on what kind of changes they are.
Yeah.
If you stay kind of in the root, then it's not too bad. As for guitars and bass, it's easy because patterns or patterns on the right. bass, but for like trumpet players and stuff, oh my goodness.
Well, that's funny. That's funny because he was a trumpet player, and the other guy I was with was a sax player.
Mm-hmm.
So they both got a kick out of that one. Funny. Now we touched on this a little bit. You do live, Del Rio, Texas is a border town. Without getting political, life is getting different. Life is different in the last 10 years since you've been on a border town.
Oh, right. It's been more different in the last 3 years, and I can give you one reason why, but I won't say it.
We can do the math.
Yeah.
What's it like? Do you have, because we were, like you mentioned, squatters. You don't have squatter issues at your house, do you?
Not really, no, but they do break in a lot of places. Yeah. The people that come over and have nowhere else to go, and then, of course, Border Patrol, a lot of them just release them. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere for them to go. So what are they going to do? They're going to try to find money as quick as they can, any way, any how they can. And a lot of times. Okay. Well, I was going to say, there's a lot more house break-ins now, a lot more car break-ins, things like that. Yeah. Some of it's kids, but a lot of it isn't. But over the last 3 years, it's gotten a little bit worse.
Do you live in a quiet neighborhood, or in a big wide open neighborhood? I live in a dead end cul-de-sac. You know, so if something like that were to happen, it wouldn't be hard for my neighbors and I to rally and put together a neighborhood watch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I live on a kind of a busy street.
Yeah.
So it's a neighborhood street. Uh-huh. I have cross traffic too. So I'm right on the corner of a block.
Oh boy.
So they can hit it and be gone on one of either roads.
You have a dog?
Yeah, I've got three.
Okay.
And so I haven't had anybody break in the back because of that, because they don't want to get eaten by my big dogs. And the other thing I've done too is I've put up some Ring cameras as well.
Oh,
and they've already earned their money, because twice they've tried to break in my car and the spotlight comes on and then they freeze like a deer in the headlights and then run like roaches when the light comes on.
That's funny, like roaches and they run. So you don't say things like that to an old exterminator, you know. as I know exactly, I mean, that's what I did for over 30 years. I was in pest control, and yeah, you turn the lights on and on a badly infested home.
Exactly.
So your last song talks about Saturday night in a border town. What is Saturday night like on a border town?
Because we're kind of out here in the middle of nowhere. The thing people mostly do here is eat and drink stuff. And so this song is basically about just a lot of people going across the border on the weekends and just kind of cutting loose, hanging out, listening to music. Because they do have some live music clubs over in Mexico, and they bring some artists in every now and then. And it's a shame, because they have better clubs over there than we have here. Most of the clubs here have went belly up.
That's what really surprised me, that you go to Mexico for the music instead of staying in town. But, you know, I thought maybe it was just because the food might be a little better, might be a little cheaper. I don't know. But it's the music, huh?
Yeah. And the clubs themselves, there's no real clubs here in Del Rio anymore. All the ones that I've had have just had bad managers or bad owners, and they've all left. There's a few clubs, but they do mostly DJ stuff.
Yeah.
No live music type of stuff like they used to when I first moved here.
Is there a college campus anywhere near you?
Just junior college.
Yeah. So,
and we even have a military base here too. So I don't see why they're not, you know, doing stuff geared for that, where they can bring in all that money from these people that are stationed here.
That's interesting. I thought it was real cool when you were telling me too, that it's different going through customs there than if you're going through like Tijuana or something else, right? You just kind of flash a card or something. Is that right?
We get what's called a border pass card. It looks like a little, a little passport, but it's only good for 10 years. You have to renew it every 10 years. But that's only if you're going from a land bridge to a land bridge. You can't use it like if you're airplane or anything like that. It's only if you're driving or walking across a land bridge.
But that makes so much sense, you know, instead of having to go through the whole passport thing. And
well, it's still considered a passport, so you still got to do the background check, FBI check, all that stuff, but it's not as thorough, I guess, because you're not going as far deep into Mexico or another country.
You see these long lines in the news and stuff, or in movies, and there's cars going on forever on either side of the Tijuana border or whatever, you know, and this just seems like it's a lot more convenient. Here's my pass, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it still gets pretty bad here in the last few weeks when they've had a lot of people like under the bridge or trying to cross over and force their way across, where they've shut the bridge down to one lane and stuff. It would take a few weeks ago, it took 8 hours to get across either side.
Oh my gosh.
You were in line for 8 to 10 hours. And now it's kind of settled back down again, because all the illegals have moved down to a different port where they're coming across, whether it's Eagle Pass or now some of them, like last week where they stormed the border in El Paso.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I saw a report just today too that said New Mexico is the new spot to hit now.
Yeah, they're kind of staying away from Texas now that Abbott's put the National Guard on alert, and they're standing out there. But you know, they're still coming. They've got ways to get across no matter what.
So that's not a typical Saturday night in a border town. The song is more a typical Saturday night on a border town, right? Yeah. Well, let's give it a listen. It's Dan Wesley White, his last song we're going to hear tonight. And it's Saturday Night on a Border Town here on the Music of America podcast.
A few hours or so west of San Antone lies Del Rio. A small border town where everyone knows your name. Lots of fishing and camping, sunset you'll say adios mio. Where the weekend starts at the local football game. Saturday night is for cutting loose, dancing to our favorite songs. It's like George said, blaming old Mexico all night long. The senoritas and margaritas, shots flowing all around. It's a Saturday night in a border town. record store 6 days a week. Watching kids go to school and waving as they pass by. Thinking about the weekend in Mexico and the palabras that I'll speak. While drinking my fill and catching the pretty girl's eye. Saturday night is for cutting loose, dancing to our favorite songs. It's like George said, blame it on Mexico all night long. With senoritas and margaritas and shots flowing all around. It's a Saturday night in a border town.
Saturday night on a border town with Dan Wesley White here on the Music of America podcast. And Dan, this is the time where you get to really shine, and we call it shameless self-promotion. You don't have a whole lot out, but tell us anyway how we can go find you and what to look for coming up maybe in 2024 and 2025 to really help support your music and your art.
So the best way to find my songs and my merchandise is on my website, which is www.danwesleywhite.com. So you can go there and purchase my singles as well as any of the merchandise I have. I've got a few shirts, hoodies, things like that on the line. You can also catch me at Big Records, which is my record label I'm with right now, a group out of Canada. But they have a lot of American artists and things on there, and they do a lot of promotion. Also trying to work with them about getting stuff going for veterans. So that's one of my passions, is to help veterans out.
Well, Mark is really good, and Eileen is a saint. You know, that's actually Eileen and Eileen Build and her husband have a company called Hotel Universe that helps people get their videos out. You don't have a video, do you?
No, I haven't made a video yet, but I'm going to have to eventually try to find somebody around here, or maybe even drive to San Antonio and get a videographer or something, so I can start putting some music to words. Or I should say video to words, not music. Yeah. I already did that.
It's fun. I've never done it. It's what people have told me, though. The first time out, it's really a lot of fun. It makes you want to do more videos. So that's cool.
Yeah. I've actually got a new single coming out within the next month or so. It'll be my first single released with Big Records through Sony Orchard. So it's a Sony sub-conglomerate.
Oh, wow.
So I'll actually have a Sony name on my newest single. And so that'll be the one that comes out either at the end of April or the beginning of May.
Awesome.
Probably more towards the beginning of May now.
What's it called?
It's called 80s Child. It's kind of an homage to all the things we used to do in the early 80s before everything kind of went to the way it is now, where the kids can't even do anything outside. They stay inside all day long on their computers and stuff.
On their phones, man. They're on their phones.
Yeah. And they wonder why their necks are growing at an angle like this, looking down.
That's something. Well, Dan, good luck to you. Thank you. And thanks for the redo, because, you know, my mic, not you. You know, it was my mic, my issue. And really appreciate it. Another shout out to Big Records. Thanks, Mark, and everybody at Big Records for helping promote Dan Wesley White, our guest today, and wrapping up our visit to Texas. Up next, we're going to head up a little further north of Texas to the state of Utah. Join us next week here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com. or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.